This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Nimmo was in there at DH. Outside of that, I don't need to go over the whole thing. Lindor, Soto, Alonso. Luis Torrens is batting fifth today.
Wow.
Catching and batting fifth behind Nimmo. You got Beatty in there. It is actually an interesting lineup. Acuna at second base, McNeil in left field, and Tyrone Taylor batting ninth. Senga is on the mound. But Nimmo at DH, I am surprised that he's even playing. I was surprised that he was in the game last night. Here's my issue with Nimmo. He's been awful, and he looks like he needs a cane.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two bad things. He had one monster game with two home runs and nine RBI. You take that away.
Yes.
He's had an awful year. I don't get it with Nimmo. This was supposed to be the year. Last year was supposed to be the year. All right, this is supposed to be the year. And again, it's not there. At some point, he is what he is as a player. And I see some still quality at bats. I still believe in him, BT. But again, it's 40 games in now. Brandon Nimmo looks like a guy who is closer to the end than he is in the prime.
He does. And this goes back to last year, Sal, as you well know. Remember, he basically had a horrendous finish to the season. So we could say it's 40 games, and that's true literally, but it's also a continuation of last year's demise, which was pretty stark. Obviously bouncing around between the Yanks and the Mets. I mean, the Mets started late last night, but I had the Yankees on rewind, whatever. So I'm doing my jungle last night, and I happened to see the Nimmo play live.
Right.
And I'm like, first of all, I thought he tore his ACL or his Achilles. Like, I could tell right away it was a knee, not the Achilles. But though you don't see a major leaguer, you don't see a professional athlete go down that gingerly, that benignly. Like, he didn't step on somebody's foot, didn't step on a base. I'm like, did he step on the crease of the grass that meets the warning track? I'm like, eh. And I'm like, there's no way he's staying in this game. Like, didn't you thought he was absolutely
100%
coming out, right?
I thought he was coming out.
Me
I think
too.
Everybody watched it thought he was. He looked like he couldn't move.
No, maybe the Mets need to.
He's got to be the DH. He's got to be a DH.
Yeah, but if he's not hitting well enough.
Then I would
justify
have him bench/DH. You can't put him in the outfield anymore.
I know. And what I was going to say was, you know, out of respect to Nimmo, who's a grinder and, you know, really plays with purpose and pride. And we all respect that, man. I think the Mets might have to save him from himself. And that might be, hey, you know, hit the IL. You know, you're sitting out 3 days. Like, he just doesn't look like a professional athlete sometimes.
Problem is, he's never been the smoothest of guys. The way I always describe him, and I told you this, I don't know if it was on the air or off the air, this is since the beginning. He's always reminded me of a baseball player who is an actor in a baseball movie.
Yeah, there
like
you
the
go.
Movie 61.
Yeah,
like the actors
good
who
call.
Play in that movie. Yeah. That's to me what Brandon Nimmo looks like. So he's never been smooth. Now, he did a great job in center field a few years back for the Mets. I never thought he was going to be a capable outfielder, let alone center fielder. He's not a true center fielder. He's not graceful. He's not athletic. I like his at bats. I like his attitude. I like his hustle. All those things. But he just looks hobbled. He looks beat up. And he's not that old. So I would be looking to preserve his body as much as I can. Now, the Mets are without Jesse Winker for an extended.
Yeah, he's gone for months.
Also, Winker is not, he can't field, so he's a left-handed DH, which is essentially what Nimmo should be. So the Marte, who's limited, I know you get it, you know, it's only a 1 year thing here, but I think the Mets need another outfielder. I can't rely on Jeff McNeil to be that guy. They're you know, banged up in center field without Jose Siri, who was supposed to be their center fielder. They need another outfielder desperately.
Do you wait? How much do you wait to see how this thing shapes up?
I mean, you know, they haven't been playing good ball. The division lead all of a sudden starting to dwindle
back
a little bit.
Too. Braves are game
under 500 now.
Things
so
are changing a little bit.
I wouldn't go nuts as far as the standings go or any panic like that, but just it is one clear need to me. The Mets are going to need a real outfielder. A
guy who could probably, play, I agree with that.
Whether he could play center, I mean, that would be helpful, but certainly somebody who could be a good outfielder in left field or center field and just then let Nimmo DH and maybe have Winker have a lesser role on this team even when he comes back. Otherwise, what are you supposed to do?
I don't love the lineup, but I didn't love it coming in. You know, I didn't think Pete would be this great. He has been, although I thought he'd be good. I thought Soto would be better, and I thought Lindor would be really good. You know, Nimmo, I have not been high on him for a while. You know, Winker's a good energy guy for the lefty stick, whatever. All right, that's fine. You know, Alvarez missed a ton of time and he's got a good backup, but, you know, not ideal. You know, third base, you know, I thought it would be better, Vientos. You know, he's still kind of languishing hard at this point. Center field's a big question.
I think offensively Vientos better. I worry about his defense, though.
I'm not bailing on Vientos. All I'm saying is he hasn't really done a whole lot yet this year. So I don't know. I just think that the Mets offense, I think these are the kind of games today, where, much like the Yankees, that said the same thing. You know, you lose today, if you do, that's three straight series. And you know, that's generally what you want to avoid. But back to Nimmo very quickly here. You go back now, all right, condensed season. 2020, his on-base percentage was .400, which is phenomenal. Then it dipped a little bit the next year. Then it went down to .367, which is still very good. Then it went down to .323. Then it went .363. Then it went down to .327 last year. And now, right now, on-base is 27%. Like, that is a 6-year, some are very small, to be fair to Nimmo, 6-year decline of him getting on base, which I was always told was his best quality, because it certainly wasn't defense and stealing bases.
Yeah, one thing I do think, I was thinking about this last night, because I still trust him to give a quality at bat, but now Alonso's locked in, and given those same Soto-type at bats where you decipher a ball or strike or know the strike zone well, that's going to be even more valuable once we eventually get to the robo-umps, which I think is probably not too far off. So those guys will still have value. Problem is, you can't have Nimmo project to be a DH, whether it be in the short term or next year. Soto eventually project to be a DH. Alonso, who knows what's going to happen with his future, but you be in the same spot as the Yankees. You don't want to have that. You need to have young athletic players or guys in their prime who could at least play some position. Vientos not great at third base. Like, at some point, the Mets are going to have to find some well-rounded ball players, and I'm not trying to minimize their start. I think they're a very good team, but if Nimmo can't play the outfield, now all of a sudden, you know, Winker can't play anywhere else. He's a DH. Marte is at this point a DH.
Oh, God, Marte. I mean, Acuna's got some good versatility.
I love Acuna. He's one of my favorite players on the team. So they have some good people. Lindor, obviously, great. Acuna, great. Good up the need a center fielder.
Definitely.
And need either Nimmo to get healthy and be a capable left fielder, or just let him be DH. I don't even trust, even if Nimmo, let's say he's on the IL and rest for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Do you trust him when he comes back to stay healthy if he's playing the outfield regularly?
I don't know exactly what's wrong with him. Is it chin
splints?
It's
always something. But
is it fasciitis? Like, he had a couple of things that were an issue last year, and he just doesn't look right. He doesn't look right.
With Winker out, I'd have him DH. That's what I would do.
What is your point? Yeah, no, I can get behind that. What is your point where, not that you're going to flip out, although that would be entertaining, but what is the point where you're like, all right, Vientos, let's go? I mean, he's hitting .220, and he's got a sub-700 OPS.
Yeah,
I know it's early
that was
still.
Impressive
I know,
against
I know.
Gallen. I think
but he's got three, four home runs. He's not, like, he was supposed to be, I was saying he should be batting second
I think
in between Soto and Lindor.
I know. I think he's looked better as of late. Now, again, I mean, you want to see him start really getting going. What are the numbers again? What'd you say he's hitting?
He's hitting .220 on the year with four homers, 15 RBIs, and a 671 OPS.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be better.
Yeah.
I mean, well, we're now not within, you know, the 20 game. Oh, it's only 20 games.
No, it's not.
It's almost Memorial Day.
It's almost 40.
A couple weeks away from Memorial Day, which, as you know, is the first real benchmark
of
the baseball season.
Yeah,
all right, here we go. So, but I think he'll be fine. I'm not worried about him yet.
I think he'll be fine, too, but My expectation was that he'd be really good. Like, there's a difference between being good and fine. And you guys need him to be good for the situation and the circumstances we just explained.
And the Mets are a few bad weeks, so I do think today's an important game. Like
it
you
is.
Mentioned, to win a series here, stop the bleeding, so
yep,
to speak.
Yep, yep.
But the Mets are a few bad weeks away, and a lot is going wrong as far as the health goes, and that happens throughout the course of a season. But now it's starting to be coupled with losing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look up in a couple of weeks and all of a sudden the Mets are looking up at the Phillies or the Braves and they're still banged up and
yep.
Soto's not performing to the level that you expected and Vientos isn't, that's where you're going to start to see. Forget about what I would do.
Yeah.
That's where the calls are going to start to come in and people are going to really start to worry about the Mets or go nuts about the guys who have been given a pass so far because they've been winning.
I think it's too early, to your point. It's too early. I think it's unfair to the Mets. Outside of the past 10 days, the Mets have played very good baseball. Starting pitching's been good. They've been clutch, and they looked sharp. They've earned a little grace period here. But, yeah, I mean, you don't get a grace period for the whole summer. So, you know, they got to wake up, and it's the kind of game. If, like, you know, when you lose series and if you keep losing them, that's the difference. I'm not saying they're an 87-win team, but that's 87 wins versus 93, 94. You want to see them stomp this out today. Get the win.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Back to the calls. Kyle's in West Orange talking about those Knicks. What's up, Kyle?
What's up, fellas? Love the show. Love the show, Sal. Sorry, whatever happened.
Thank you.
My heart goes out to you and your family. Glad you're back. Now, the Knicks. What we saw, what I think what you saw, the fight that night against the Celtics is what happened when they had to fight. Because that Detroit, that Pistons-Knicks series was a battle. That was a fight. I don't care what the record was during the year or last year. Those guys wanted to fight. They both wanted that series. And the Knicks came out on top. Thus, to create a battle-driven, weary team, a team that is, like, tough, like Marines. And now, here they are, up against Boston. And Brunson, the captain, he did what he had to do. Got to keep doing that. But I need Brunson, OG, which is simple. Bridges has to give me more. Even though 8 points, seven rebounds, I like that. He played 51 minutes. But Bridges has to have more points because everybody's scoring, along with Cat. Cat, give me 15, 13 rebounds, 15-plus points, then we can get this team. And with Porzingis coming in, I think Cat, no doubt, I mean, this is like, you know, we'll be checking, we'll be guarding him. So he's going to have his hands full with Porzingis because I don't see Mitch Robinson checking him. But
he,
just
had his hands
rebounds,
he had his hands full the other night. I mean, he was...
Yeah.
On the perimeter, like, that's one of the issues. Now, KP's not going to necessarily cross you over, and thanks for the call. Like, he's kind of more spot up. Not that he can't put it down one or two times and get a little space.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
But he was chasing Tatum. Jason Brown, like, the hell are we doing? Carl Anthony Towns 35 feet away from the rim? Of course he's going to commit fouls.
I do think the Knicks are going to have to score a lot more to beat the Celtics. And by the way, just like do you think the Knicks are going to be favored in any games in this series?
Unless there was a big injury, probably not.
Right. So that kind of plays to my point just about, I'm not trying to rain on the Knicks parade. Believe me, I'm just as excited as anybody else. But the reality is, even after what happened in game one, they're still a 10-point underdog tonight in game two.
The odds grew.
Right.
They didn't shrink. They grew.
Right. And I would venture to guess, and I'm not an expert about this, especially when it comes to the NBA.
Go ahead.
That they're probably going to be underdogs in every game this series.
I'll give you a scenario. Give me a close game and a blowout, and I'll tell you what I think the spread will be game three at the Garden.
All right, so if they lose by 20 or more tonight.
If they lose by 20 or more tonight, I think the number is probably about 5.5.
Okay, and if they lose a close game tonight?
I think it probably opens up at around 3.5, 4.
Or if they're still getting points.
They're still getting.
Yeah, and if they win tonight?
Closer to a pick 'em, but I still think you lay a little juice for the Celts.
That's the thing. So now, if Porzingis is hurt or out, whatever, with his illness, or somebody's hurt, obviously that changes things.
Yep.
And if Porzingis wasn't playing tonight, that would have changed things to me. I'm looking at tonight. Now, it doesn't mean that they can't shock the world again, but this would be even more shocking than beating the Celtics in game one if they were able to win game two after winning game one.
Here's my only question, and I think it's a pretty pertinent one because this kind of summarizes everything that I've said about the Knicks, some of the trepidation I've had stamping them a champion contender this year. So, use the word stunning, like to stun the Celtics. To me, like that word would have applied to the 2020 Knicks. All right, Randall and a bunch of whatevers, like, you know, you beat the Hawks and then you win, if they would have, and then you win the next series. Well, now we're stunning people. How can we characterize, I know what the odds say, I get that, before the series, understood, and tonight, game-by-game basis. But how can we characterize Knicks wins as stunning the Celtics when you've got the starting Eastern Conference point guard, in terms of the All-Star, and the All-Star starting center, 40% of your starting five?
Right, well,
How is that stunning anybody?
I don't think it should be.
Well, then what's wrong?
I don't think it should be coming into the series. I think tonight.
But it was.
For
Knicks
some
were,
people.
Knicks were, minus, right. Knicks were plus 1,000
right. Yeah, well,
to win the series.
But that's what I'm saying. So I never believed that was right. I also now don't believe the market correction is right the other way. It's somewhere in between.
I think it's more of an emotional market correction, though. There has not been a market correction
based
on the odds.
It's emotional. But tonight, from my perspective, it's only because they already won the first game. I would be stunned if Boston lost two games in a row at home.
Yeah.
As almost double-digit favorites in each game, especially with Porzingis coming back.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point about saying it's stunning tonight. Yes, you're right. In theory, it's always felt like this David versus Goliath. It's not.
It shouldn't be. I mean, geez, what are we doing here? Is this a little engine that could?
That's the beauty of this series, is that all the hypotheticals and all the talk dating back to last year, we were going to get to see just how far away the Knicks are from the big, bad world champion Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
And so far, the Knicks went toe-to-toe and beat them in game one. Now, there was circumstance around that, sure, but I want to see how they match up. The series still could end in five. Maybe the Knicks win it. But the whole point was, they can't beat the Celtics. And I was going to say, well, we're going to find out how they stack up against the Celtics. Instead of thinking about it or what would have happened last year or what could happen this year, now we're going to know definitively, when this is all said and done, how they matched up against the Boston Celtics.
You like Reggie doing these games, Reggie Miller?
I didn't love him in game. I didn't think he was bad.
I think he was pretty good.
Yeah.
He's throwing Josh Hart a lot of praise. And
I know some people were crushing him, but I thought he was fair.
I like him. I know it's crazy to say this, Nick. I like Reggie. I think Reggie's funny.
Yeah, I don't think he... Like, I loved Ian Eagle and Grant Hill on the Detroit series.
I think Grant Hill's boring, dude.
But Ian, to me...
I watched MSG. I didn't even watch those guys.
Yeah,
and
I love Ian. Yeah, I watched Ian.
Bird's awesome. But if I get a chance to listen to Clyde and Mike Breen, the last... I think I said this when you were out. Do you realize there's not going to be another playoff game on MSG ever again? Did you realize that?
No, what do you mean?
You had a lot going on, obviously.
They don't have playoffs next year
So obviously round two now is when the national networks jump in. But starting next year, it's round one.
Wow.
So now maybe 15, 20 years down the road, but Clyde won't be doing it. Mike might not be. that, like, the foreseeable future, there will not be another Nick play. The last Nick playoff basket was Jalen Brunson's bomb with four seconds to go.
Yeah, I mean, on MSG.
So,
well, it's a nice way to go out. I personally, now younger me, watching Marv and John Andres do the
Johnny
games,
Hoops.
I would have wanted those guys to take us all the way through.
Yeah.
But I like the national feel because it is a clear distinction.
Yeah, no, I do too.
From the regular season to the postseason when you have a national.
Feels bigger.
Especially when it's Ian.
Well, it feels bigger.
Yeah.
But it's got to be the right booth. I mean, Ian's great.
Kevin Harlan's fine, but I love Ian.
Yeah, Kevin Harlan sounds big, but to me, and I like Grant. I think Grant's a little, I don't know, I think just Reggie's.
Yeah.
Grant's boring to me. He's just a, I don't know.
He was okay.
Bit of a nerd.
I thought him and I were better than Reggie and Harlan to me. But either way. By the way, quick PSA before we break. 888-808-1019. Been getting texts about the real ID. Passport is just fine to travel if you don't have the real ID.
Yeah, so they'll never go. That's it.
And I don't know about all the fuss.
What is the fuss if that's the case?
I don't know. See, I'm thinking common sense. Like, okay, they're making a big fuss. Oh, you can't travel without the real ID. .. unless you have a passport.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, then I'm good. Then I don't care.
And I know you needed to enter government facilities as well, which, to our knowledge, you and I aren't doing on a regular basis, so...
What do you mean? Like the post office?
Like a federal building, like the, I don't know, like the FBI building. I don't know.
Going there?
I'm just reading the DMV site.
What do I care?
No, I don't.
Because I was texting my wife. I'm like, do you have the real ID? Because now I'm thinking there's another thing I got to put on my list and get done. And she's like, no, I don't, but I have my passport. And then she was one who, along with others who were texting, saying, you know, you're good with the passport.
Oh, God, thank God my wife does all that stuff. Yeah. I just have no patience for that. I really don't.
You mentioned earlier, BT,
that
the game that we had scheduled for a while now, this is dating back to December, that Mitchell and Fort Lee said, you guys are in May 16th.
Did he bring that up the night that we went to Saturday Night's Main Event? Was that the night that he actually brought it up to us?
Yeah, in December, Hoff and I were driving with him. He drove us to the event on the island. We met you there.
Yes.
And that was the night that we brought it up. I talked to one of his friends who has the season tickets with. He's like, oh, we'd love to have you guys.
Okay.
So we went and rearranged it. He got more tickets so we could get Hoff involved. So this has been a long time in the making.
It has been.
And you said, in case anybody missed it, in case you missed anything, check out on the Free Odyssey app, you had said because the Knicks play a Game 6 or are scheduled to play a possible Game 6 against Boston, that if a Game 6 does take place, you no longer want to go anymore to the Yankees and Mets opening game there, that Subway Series game that Friday night, the return of Juan Soto.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that, I've already had people hit me up saying that they would take your spot.
I'm going to need some names before. I'll play the game here, but I'm going to need some names. Just try to jump in my spot
here. The first one was Hector in Washington Heights. He was all
over. I like Hector. Okay, who else?
And then
Mitchell, are there station people or no?
No.
Okay,
station people,
doesn't bother
me. I think actually C-Mac might be going already.
Okay.
So there's a good group of people going already.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mitchell himself said, hey, I heard BT doesn't want to go, and you may not be.
Well, that's not a fair characterization. BT doesn't want to go.
And then he goes, you may not want to go really either. Let me know. I'll sell the tickets. So Mitch, because he could make.
Maybe Mitch lost a couple bets. He's trying to get some money back. It doesn't seem like he wants to go anymore. He's trying to sell everybody's tickets.
He could make good bank on that.
Yeah, he could.
But you could. I think the challenge should be to you, test your belief in this Knicks team. If you truly believe there is going to be a Game 6.
Okay.
Now, maybe you wait for after tonight. Maybe at some point this week you make that decision. When is Game 3? Saturday?
Saturday at 3:30.
Right. But when do you think would be a fair time to make a decision, being that the game is, it feels like it's still so long away. It's next week.
Okay. It is crazy that it's
right?
Next
Mets, Yanks, Soto next week? Oh man.
I'm actually going to the stadium a couple of days after that with our town. We do a whole big thing. Oh. So I'm going to be at the stadium either way. I think Tuesday, whatever.
I got to start getting out of some of these games. I haven't been yet. I know.
All right. Though the weather's been awful. I'll give you the answer today. I don't need to wait. I'll give you the answer today. So I met Mitchell once.
Yeah.
I've spoken to him on the phone with the show a few times.
Yeah.
We were trying to get together on something else. I think it was, with the SUVs. Remember that?
Yeah.
For Cole's birthday?
Yeah.
So we were texting and stuff.
I think I've seen a whole game or something.
Yep. Rather than one big party bus, I thought maybe I'll get a couple of big, but whatever. So I spoke to him then, but I met him once. So I've met Mitchell once. I've worked with you for almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
I have worked with Hoff, going back to the relationship with Tiki, for about 4 years here. I have been a Knick fan since Bernard King. Have fun. Give the tickets away. I ain't coming.
You're out.
I'm out. Knicks.
Now,
easiest decision I ever made.
I'm out. Just let the record show.
I will not come back in.
Knicks win it in five.
If the Knicks lose in five or win in five, I will not say, oh, wait, I wasn't thinking clearly. No, I really want to come. I understand what I'm doing right now.
Did the Knicks give you an out to an event that maybe you didn't really want to go to anyway?
Why would you say that?
Well, because it's a hassle going in the games.
No, an event that I don't really want to go to is something that my wife drags me to. Not to go and have, you know.
Well, I was asking the question.
Surfsides with you hammerheads to watch the Yankees or the Mets.
I was just making sure because even, like, I admit, like, oh, God, I don't really want to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a part of me.
Well, you wouldn't feel welcome in the Bronx?
No, not that. Although maybe that's a part of it. I just don't want to deal with that. But, like, going to a game on Friday, like, there's a lot that.
I've thought about that as well, but not to the point where it would dissuade me not to go. I know it's going to be nuts, man. I mean, like,
but you don't.
Are you going to wear a Mets jersey, by the way? You have to.
No.
You're not.
1,000% not. I will not wear a Mets.
Why?
I just don't want.
Huff, are you going to wear a Mets jersey?
I'm not looking
to
instigate or agitate.
He will. He's got the balls to do it.
I mean, I would, but I'm.
You're not either?
I've done it before. I've done it before many times. I don't think. It's the smart thing to do
to bring
more attention.
Now, we'd be fine there, but maybe walking out, going to the cars, still a little late.
No need to do it.
Okay, so.
Unless Soto sends me something himself, you know what I'm saying? Maybe then I wear a Soto jersey. I don't have a new Soto jersey. That would be the one that I would wear.
How about we start with getting Mendy on the show before Soto actually sends you a jersey?
I know it's not going to happen. I'm just saying.
All right, so, I get it. This is a risk, but this is a calculation on my part.
Yeah.
We're getting a game six. There's no doubt in my mind. So, now I'm not so sure I felt that before they won the other night. It's going to be a game six, which means I will be, and it's a night game, and it's a Friday night, which means I will be in my backyard with my son, and hopefully my Jen and my daughter as well, probably after baseball practice, and I'll have a fire pit, and I will be watching the Knicks on my glorious outdoor TV, looking at my arborvitaes every time Jalen Brunson sticks a three in Tatum's face.
All right, so you are officially
out. I know what I'm leaving on the table, dude, and I know I could get burned, but I'm a Knick guy.
You don't feel any loyalty to or the commitment to Mitchell went out of his way?
I do. I do. That's why I said if he needs me to pay him, I will.
You know, Mitch, he helped me move some couches not too long ago. He brought the Christmas.
No, he didn't. You didn't tell me about this. I know about the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
What happened with the couches?
I needed help moving the couches. We got a new furniture set or whatever. It was a few weeks ago. And I was like,
this was after the Christmas tree?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, okay.
Well, you can't abandon him. I mean, he's basically your servant. I'm just kidding, Mitch. He's a great guy. I know he's so well intentioned, and I really do like him. And I met him. He's a sweetheart. This is the Knicks, dude.
And now maybe we trade a Yankee fan. As you have pulled out of this event, May 16th, for a Mets fan.
And I don't know if that's allowed. I'm going to have to get with Mitch here, and the other stipulation might be that I will give up that ticket no matter what, even if there's not a game six, but it cannot go to a Mets fan. That's going to be a stipulation.
I don't know if you have any say in the matter now. You have now pulled out.
I think that, you know, Mitchell might appreciate a text from me.
Yes, I'm sure he would.
I think he would be
maybe a call on the way
pretty
home.
Good about feel pretty good about that. Tickle's fancy a little bit.
Let him
remember what's going on here.
Say thanks, but
I didn't even think about it. Like that does matter. Like to me, because I'm so loud, and like Hoff is loud, and you're loud, but I can't let three Mets fans.
I'm not going to be loud and rowdy at the game.
I
don't get that in me. I mean,
I wouldn't be cursing at Soto, but you don't, dude. Can you imagine walking to our seats?
I might be cursing at Soto. I mean, you might.
This. Like, I think you're under this illusion that like we're going to be living in this cloak of anonymity. Like, if we go, I guess you're still going. We would be besieged, whether it's people who love you and hate you or love me.
Yeah.
And this Soto-Met-Yankee dynamic? You think we're just going to slip in, especially, watch the game, and go home?
Especially in right field right there.
Don't forget about it.
Yeah.
Go to the bathroom, go get a beer, go get food. It's just, we're going to be crazy.
Oh, you're going to be home watching the Knicks.
Game six. Win.
Subway Series, return of
Soto. I've seen a million Subway Series.
I've seen plenty of Game 6, unfortunately, for the Knicks.
I've also seen
it 20 years ago.
Hey, by the way, I've also seen a lot of opposing right fielders hitting 246.
Nothing
I haven't seen, buddy.
There you go. All right. BT, I'm hoping to catch a home run ball from Soto, although he doesn't hit those wall scrapers. When he actually hits them.
Usually Oppo. Now, I will be totally honest here. It hurts that I have to do this. I hate that I have to do this.
All kidding aside, from a sports fan perspective, it does suck that we have two.
You're not going to watch the Knicks game. You can tell me. I know you're going to try.
No, if I
you're not going to enjoy it.
If I go to the game, I'm not going to be able to watch the Knicks game the way that I would want to watch
it. I cannot function like that. Not with a Knicks playoff game. No way. Not in round two.
I'm big on that
way.
With football Sundays. Like, that's why postseason baseball or September baseball.
Mm.
You know, I never like. I used to go to the end of, like, I remember the Mets game where they closed out Shea Stadium in 2008. Like, if it happens to fall on a Sunday, it sucks because you're missing a football Sunday, which is so special.
Yep. But used to be special.
But playoff around here. Exactly right. But playoff baseball to me, playoff baseball, not regular season, playoff baseball trumps that. Yes, a playoff baseball game, a playoff basketball game should trump any regular season game. This is the ultimate one that puts it to the test. Soto's return.
Dude, they're either up, if this happens, they're either up 3-2 or they're losing 3-2. They're either going to move to the conference championship or their season's over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not game one.
I get it.
I
got to honor my commitment.
You don't have to. I'm not.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to.
Exactly.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Milwaukee at second, two out, 2-0 New York in the second. The 1-1 swing and a drive to deep left field. It's got a chance. Upton going back. It's going to go. Home run, Bartolo Colon. Repeating. Home run, Bartolo Colon. Seven-line army in right field might tear this ballpark down. Colon carried his bat with him until he was about 10 feet from first base. He's taking the slowest home run trot you've ever seen. He just got to Tim Tuffle, the third base coach. He is approaching home plate. He touches home plate with his first major league home run. And they are going to give him a silent treatment in the dugout. They have vacated. The Mets have left the building. Bartolo Colon is the loneliest man in San Diego as he reaches the Mets dugout after hitting a home run, and there's nobody there to greet him. And now here they come up the dugout steps.
Yeah,
wow.
A special call of the day there, BT, 9 years ago. I remember, it's so weird how certain moments stick out, and that is just, I mean, I know it's Bartolo Colon hitting a home run, but still, in early May, you remember where you were with that one? I was at a Mexican restaurant with my wife, enjoying a nice Pacifico, watching the game on my TV, on my phone, and seeing that and couldn't believe what was going on. But a historic moment, no doubt about it, with Bartolo.
One of 25 hits he had in his career. I'm looking at it now. 25 for 299 was, what's that, about, less than 90%, 90-ish. Let's see. And he had four doubles. He no triples. A home run. What's his OPS? Does it even have it? I don't even think it.
Nah,
it doesn't have it. That was amazing. But that shows you really in a lot of ways how far the Mets have come.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
or that was a pivotal moment.
Yeah. Like how much you're. And Bartolo was a very good major league pitcher, as you know, threw a lot of strikes. But you know, now it's about trying to beat the Dodgers last year in the NLCS and taking Juan Soto and trying to take the next step and trying to win a World Series.
And maybe one day Juan Soto could have his Mets moment too, like Bartolo did 9 years ago today. All right, let's get back to the phones here. BT and Sal on The Fan. Dave is in Smithtown. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Yes, Sal, obviously prayers to your family.
Thank
You're a great guy. I hope everything's all right.
We appreciate
a couple
it.
Things. I was thinking, you know, with the Mets and the Knicks at the same time, you know, you could DVR it, or the baseball could be nice to move the game. Play a doubleheader Saturday or Sunday so people can watch the next day. It could be raining that day. You never know. It's like taking college classes for final exams at the same time. I was always told not to do that. But anyway, you know, I would have a bigger problem, though, with them playing on the 4th of July. Because, I mean, these interleague games, they really should be in July and August. It's a holiday weekend. And, you know, even Evan Roberts, he's going to be in London, he said, so he won't be watching. So, you know, I would have a bigger problem with the plane on a holiday. Thanks,
yeah,
guys.
Well, there is no, and thank you for the call, there is no problem with the game being scheduled on May 16th. It's just a conflict when you have the Knicks happen to be in the second round and a game was scheduled that night. We didn't know that that was going to be the case up until last week, late last week.
Yep.
So the 4th of July stuff, I don't know where you stand on that. I don't love it necessarily because
having games or not having games?
No, having the
Mets, the games.
Yankees,
I don't like it. No, I want that game to be on with with the barbecue. I want to watch the Yankees leisurely.
Right.
I just have the game on.
Correct.
Work the grill. Have some people over. I'm sure. No, I.
And also, like a lot of us,
lock into the Yanks and the Mets on July 4th. No,
not even just us, like you and I, although we have to go over that the vacation week. But a lot of people take off that week so they're not either driving or listening or whatever, and then, you know, maybe we're not going to be here. But that's a big series that you want to be around for that. So, yeah, I don't like having the Subway Series taking place on a holiday weekend. I love baseball on Memorial Day and 4th of July. Sometimes the games that aren't scheduled on those days drive me nuts.
I can't stand that. More and more, too.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. But I don't want the Mets and Yankees. Unfortunately, this year, that is the case. Mark is in Oceanside. What's up, Mark?
First, my condolences
Thank
to you,
Mark.
Sal.
We appreciate it.
You and your family.
Thank you.
This is for both of you. I think people have it wrong about the Yankees. I think they have an absolute cakewalk to the World Series. If you look at the teams that are would be in the playoffs right now in the American League, it's the same usual suspects: Cleveland, Kansas City, Seattle. Some real lightweights, and I just can't see.
Yeah, but they're getting better because they're getting older and they're getting more experienced, those teams.
So who's leading?
The Tigers.
Oh, the Tigers are the best, led by Spencer Torkelson. They're going to beat the Yankees?
Well, I mean, they've got basically 10 more wins than losses, so they're beating somebody. Not saying they're going to beat the Yankees, but I'm just not going to dismiss them, Mark. That's all I'm saying. Like, I understand, like, the AL Central on paper in our minds, that's the JV. I'm not worried about them. And that's usually true. The Guardians over the years, the Twins back in the day when Pettit would always win the second game with Mauer and those guys. I know the history, but that doesn't mean that those teams can't mature. And the Yankees are not unbeatable, nor are they unapproachable. So as those other teams get a little more experience, the Guardians were in the playoffs a year ago, the Royals were in the playoffs a year ago, the Tigers, like, they're going to get better. Now, the Yankees could still get better because I don't think that Bellinger's going to hit 190. And this, you know, Luis Gil will come back. But I don't see a guaranteed road to the World Series. I'd like their chances somewhat, but I'm not going nuts.
Yeah, I'm going to, at this point, not focus on anybody else, although I know that that's what we do. Look at the American League and know that it's weaker than the National League, certainly. But I'm just going to look at the Yankees because I can't sit there and watch every team every single night. Like, the Tigers, we can look at the record and say, yeah, they're good. And then I think to myself, yeah, it's the AL Central. Mm. And every time we think that they're okay, you get fooled and you watch them in the postseason and they wet themselves. So I'm not going to go there yet. I'm going to watch the Yankees and decide in my mind if I think that they are a team that is capable of going to the World Series. And based on what I've seen so far, I think that they're worse than they were a year ago, as opposed to being a more well-rounded, better team. Injuries happen, whatever, sure. Circumstance, I love Max Fried. We're going to see what he's going to do tonight in an important game. But so far, on May 7th or whatever it is, I don't look at the Yankees and see, in my mind, a World Series caliber team.
I would stop short of, like, when you say caliber, I'm going to get a little separation from that because I do think some things will improve. Obviously, Luis Gil will come back, as I said. But if you were just at a World Series champion or a World Series team, I know I'm kind of playing semantics, I would be with you there. Like, this year, first base is better than last year. Mm-hmm. Last year, I'm not a big Torres fan, but second base was better at this point. This offensive version, believe it or not, of Volpe is slightly better than the one a year ago on base. Those numbers, those are statistical proven. Catcher's about the same. Third base is a mess still. Obviously, Judge was in center, Soto was in right, so there's a weakening in terms of production, strengthening in defense. Like, it's kind of close. You know, Max Fried is Cole was out last year. Yeah, it's close, but it just feels a little off.
I would say that the reasons that they made it to the World Series a year ago were Judge Soto combination and a weaker American League. So if we think the American League has gotten better, and again, I don't even want to go there.
Yeah,
okay, slightly better, but I know that Judge Soto combo, what they're missing from that, to me, they have not made up for it with the other additions. Not to mention, yeah, Fried's been great, but you lose Garrett Cole. You lose Luis Gil. Those guys can come back. Mm. I'm just saying right now.
Yeah, listen, I'm not pushing back too hard. Sometimes it's just a boring watch.
Oh, dude, and that's the one thing that we said wasn't going to happen this year.
No.
That they should be a more exciting watch on a night-to-night basis.
With speed.
To me, not a good team. They don't play the game the right way. They're not a fun watch. Now, it doesn't mean that can't change. Dominguez could go nuts. Bellinger all of a sudden gets hot. You know, and then it complements what Grisham and Judge, hard to believe we're using them in the same breath, but Grisham and Judge and Goldschmidt have done. Like, there's a way to make them look much better. But right now, based on the first 2 months or month and a half, I do not feel good about the Yankees.
Can you imagine if Judge wasn't on this team?
Oh, my God.
I mean, I tweeted this last night. I'll tell you, my tweeting timing is awful. And I did delete it because I just didn't want to see it. I'm like, I just
What did you do? I missed this.
I tweet. I said, can you imagine the Yankees without Aaron Judge? And then they scored, what, 8 or 9 runs. I swear to God, like right after it. So,
nice,
and the point was true. But listen, the upside would be this. Right field, center field with Bellinger and Grisham in left. Like, if Bellinger starts to, when he starts to hit a little bit, you've got a great defensive outfield. So that would be better than last year's version. Like, there's things that we could selectively choose, but no, it's been uninspiring. They got some problems so far, no doubt.
Omar is in Brooklyn.
Omar!
Hello, good afternoon. How are you guys?
Great. What's up, Omar?
Listen, Sal, put my condolences to your family.
Thank you,
Omar. Okay, second thing. Now, the thing is, you made us say the whole year that they have a chance to win. Now you're backing up because they're 10 points underdog. Here, three trends that are leaning. First three games, take it out, no Mitch Robinson. Last game, Mitch Robinson, fully healthy team. We went to the overtime. Mm-hmm. Then go to the playoff, we win in overtime. The trends are changing slowly and slightly, and the victories are coming. Now, for last 5 minutes, the edge that I say that we have a humongous edge is we are more athletic. They are slow. They do not run the floor the way with the ball. Bridges can run. Josh Hart can run. And they are coming back slowly. When they don't hit three-pointers, and everybody says in Detroit Pistons that we do not defend a three-point well, we defended in Detroit Pistons three-point with a Beasley. He hit 320 three-pointers in the regular season. We defended three-pointers better. We defended in the first game 3 points better. So if they are saying, oh, they were off, they're not going to miss 45 three-pointers, yes, they will make a little bit more with Porzingis coming in. But we are defending 3 points better. You know why? Because my favorite, the game changer, Mitch Robinson, is guarding Jason Tatum at the end of the season, one-on-one, baby. That was not happening in the regular season before. Mitch is back. The whole team is healthy. Let's go. We are winning it. This time, we will finish this series in 6 games in Madison Square Garden, and New York will be rolling that night.
See, and thank you for the call. We appreciate the passion. See, but that's exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm not saying that they can't win. To your point, Omar, you're right. I have been saying that I'm giving them a chance this whole time because of their talent.